Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Alexa, who is Adam Ferrara?
Adam Ferrara is an American actor and comedian known for playing the roles of Chief Needles Nelson on Rescue Me, Sergeant Frank Fiorelli opposite Edie Falco on Nurse Jackie. He was a co-host on the U.S. version of Top Gear. He has had three Comedy Central specials, and his new album is called It's Scary in Here. Adam's new podcast is a big hit and available everywhere.
Sounds like it could be funny.
Sounds to me like 30 minutes you'll never get back.
Well, it's about time. We've been waiting. Now we can start the show. And we have another great show for you this week. My guest in the ADD interview is actor, comedian, master impressionist. You know him from Mad TV and Fox NFL Sunday. It is my pal, Frank Caliendo. And we want to welcome everyone from our Talk to Me Tuesday family. That's our conversation we have every week, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Go to my website, click the link, and join us. And our superfan shout-out is for Jane Johnson. Say hi.
Hello, Jane.
Janie Johnson, how are you?
What's happening there, Jane?
And one of us was in the New York Times, and it wasn't Alex, and it wasn't Mark, and it wasn't me.
Gee, well, I wonder who's left.
Exactly. You want to tell us something, Adam?
I certainly will. There was an article in the New York Times on our guest, Frank Caliendo. And in the article, Philip, may I read the article?
Oh, you have the article?
You mean the one you sent me? You mean the one you sent me and highlighted your name in? Yes, I have it.
Do you want me to post that, Adam?
We'll post
That's
the article,
hysterical.
Too.
Okay, we'll post it.
But in the article that was a piece the New York Times did on Frank Caliendo, if you go down to where Phil highlighted it, you will read this. Nearly a decade ago, comedian friend Phil Tagg challenged me. Do Madden, Tagg told him. I said, what's that going to get me? Basically, millions of dollars in a career.
Yeah.
But yeah, when did you tell him that, Phil?
Geez, man, it had to be 15 something years ago. We were working in Milwaukee at the Comics Cafe. And, you know, he, as soon as I saw him, I was, you know, like you recognize something special, and he had all these great voices, and he was doing Madden off stage. We were like hanging out. I go, dude, you have to do that on stage. He goes, really? I said, no one's doing Madden. You have to go up and do Madden. So he goes up and he starts doing Madden like on Wednesday. By Friday night, it's like, I mean, when I tell you it's killing, he's like, I mean, and I'm like, oh shit, I'm in the back going, I have to follow this now. Oh my God. I've created a monster. What am I doing here? You know? And then the rest is history. He ended up on Fox Sports and that's how it happened. But I thought it was cool that he mentioned me in that article.
Mm-hmm. No, that's seriously cool, man. You're the little push that put him in that position where everything blew up. I'm assuming he's cut you a residual check for all that, right?
I've made $0. I got nothing.
You know what? You made a big deposit in the karmic bank, yes. And it's all going to come back to you some way.
Yes.
Because what you unleashed on the world, I mean, the first time I heard Caliendo and that Madden, mm-hmm. I blew my head because you're right. You'd never heard anybody doing John Madden, and you loved Madden doing those games. And to hear somebody do it was just genius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the one thing Phil did get out of it was a lot of resentment.
So there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, you pushed him to make that one little change. Like, I'm already doing this. That mm-hmm. one little change. Now bring that to the stage. Mm-hmm. You just make one little change and a lot of things can happen.
Oh, yeah. I remember when I was starting out and I was working at Lancome, the cosmetic company. And we used to help customers and we used to work on commission.
Right.
And I was doing all right. Mm-hmm. And then one day I did something so simple. I walked from being behind the counter around to being in front of the counter with the customer.
So you came out to stand next to her and put on like eyeshadow and stuff? Were you wearing a white lab coat?
Yes, I was.
Okay, good.
I had to look professional, Adam.
I like it.
Making that effort and truly connecting with my customer, and something didn't look good or if, you know, I was telling her the truth. But anyway, long story short, by making that small little gesture,
right,
my sales, it quadrupled.
That's great.
Yeah. And like I said, working on commission, I was one of the top salesmen in that store.
That's great.
Yeah. Which was, you know, thinking back, that's an extra added bonus because it was really nice for me to connect with a human being, you know.
Take the cash. Trust me. Just take the cash.
I took the cash, Adam. I took the cash.
Yeah. And you know what's nice about you is like, because you are honest, you know, like I could just see my wife helping. Listen, I think we can do something with the eyebrows. What if we pluck the top one?
I never said that, just for the record. Never said that.
But yeah, one little change. You know what? I make little changes to deal with my own neurosis. This is what I do. Mm-hmm. Yes. Like you see all these cards I have and all these lists and stuff I'm always writing down. It's because it organizes the chaos in my head, and lack of structure triggers my anxiety. So if I write stuff out, I got a map in my head of what I got to do. And it kind of keeps me from screaming and yelling. Not really. But at least I'm making an effort of trying to do it.
Yeah.
I'm working with my own crazy to be a better person for my wife.
I have a change for you that you made.
Go ahead.
You're eating sauerkraut now. You're regular.
Yeah. All right. Tell you that. The wife is giving me raw sauerkraut because it's the probiotics.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And it puts the good bugs in your system.
Mm-hmm. So you know what I'm thinking now? If you're eating sauerkraut, I'm going to have to start eating sauerkraut because I do everything you do.
Yes,
you
do.
It's my turn now to eat sauerkraut.
Yeah, you know?
Start eating it.
Healthy gut.
What she's not telling you is there's a German oompa band in my lower intestine. And the tuba likes to solo, so it's very noisy in the house, if you understand what I'm saying.
I think we all do, Adam.
I stopped eating carbs. I've done that like for 3 weeks now, and man, my energy is like I'm like a pinball. I wake up at 7. I'm doing stuff. It's like I'm Adam. That's what I am now. I even call them up. I go, I get it now. I get it. I understand. Is this what you do?
Yeah, he stopped eating the carbs, and now he's complaining nonstop.
Yeah, it's funny how little changes like that, you know, make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Stern, I know the change you made, and you did it for the benefit of everyone else on the road.
What?
Well, yes, as some of you may know, I have a little bit of a road rage issue.
No.
Look, yeah. I'm not the one saying it's the arresting officer. I just read the report.
A little bit of a problem with that. But I can't remember where I came across this, but it was told to me, if you just leave 10 minutes early to wherever you're going, you won't have that stress of I'm going to be late. And I swear to God, it has changed my life. because you're not running late. You're not like, look at this moron in front of me. I got to get where I'm going. You're just like, all right, I'll catch that light later. You know, it's all good. 10 minutes. Just if you got to be somewhere, build in 10 minutes and you'll just be cool as a cucumber wherever you're going.
That's great. It. You don't have a wife.
Yeah, that's true.
I was going to add to that, Mark, that I tried, because I know Adam likes to be on time and all this kind of stuff. So I tried to turn my clock back.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah,
but you know what I end up doing, right?
Right.
Oh, I got 10 more minutes because I turned it back 10 minutes.
Yeah. Except sometimes it's not exactly 10. You're like, wait a minute, how much time do I have?
Yeah.
You start doing math in your head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's my game every day.
Yeah.
Hey, you were trying. I'll give you credit for that.
Thank you.
The change I made? As you guys know, I long to dwell in non-phenomenal awareness. So
that means you think of stuff.
Yeah, that means I don't want to think of stuff. That's the thing. I want to separate myself from my thoughts because apparently I'm the one driving myself crazy. So in meditation, you want to observe your thoughts, right? Okay, so right. I changed the word think to notice, because now if I notice, it's outside of me.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. All right, so I have distance on it. So it's a little game I play with myself. So now, if someone's like, you know, pissing me off, I can just say to them, I noticed you're an asshole. You know, it's not like I think you're an asshole. It's just my opinion. It's like, look, you're an asshole. We all know that. I just picked up on it. So it kind of helps me a little bit.
But that's genius.
Yeah, if you change it to notice, it helps you separate yourself from your thoughts. So
that's good.
Yeah, one little change does that. Frank Caliendo made one little change in his voice, and it goes from Kermit the Frog to John C. Reilly to Mark Ruffalo, to Joe Rogan.
Wow.
Pretty impressive stuff. You guys listen to this, and we will see you on the other side.
What small change can you make to help achieve your goals? Well, in psychology, there's one tip that stands out in terms of uniqueness and the amount of scientific backing. It's called implementation intentions, aka the if-then plan. Here's how it goes. I want to have more money. When I get my paycheck, then I will first put 10% into savings. Notice how the goal suddenly got a lot more practical.
That's great. It. You don't have a wife.
You're listening to the Adam Ferrara podcast. This is 30 minutes you'll never get back.
Like, I got the time for this.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
I
I got some stand-up dates for you. Tomorrow, Friday, April 30th, and Saturday, May 1st, I will be at the Draft House in Arlington, Virginia. May 6th through the 8th, I will be in Richmond, Virginia at the Sandman Comedy Club. Then June 4th, I'm going home to Strong Island, baby. The Brokerage Comedy Club in Belmore, Long Island. June 4th and June 5th, I will be back in Royersford, Pennsylvania at Soul Joel's. There's a link for tickets right here in the show notes, or you can go to my website and click the link there. Oh, and I posted a video of me taking Phil to his stress test. It's very funny. Check it out. If it makes you laugh, leave me a message. All right. Let's listen to Frank Caliendo.
Pay attention when I'm talking to you, boy.
ADHD, it's not just for kids.
Nice boy, but doesn't listen to a word you say.
Welcome to the ADD interview. It's not that you're not interesting, it's just that I can't focus. And my guest this week is...
Oh, look, a bird!
My guest this week is an old friend. It was at a comedy club in Columbus, Ohio, where I first met him. And when he went on stage is when I met the rest of the people in his head. He is a comedian and impressionist who all other impressionists are measured up against. And in my opinion, nobody comes close. You know him from Mad TV, ESPN, NFL on Fox, and his podcast, The Caliendo Effect. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's my pal, Frank Caliendo. How are you, my friend?
Great. You know what? I actually think I met you. Well, let's see. The Columbus Funny Bone.
Yeah.
I went. I did a guest set. Was that during? That was the guest set I did there.
Yeah.
I forgot about that because it was George Cantor opening for you at that point.
God, I have no idea. I just remember you walked in and said, my name's Frank. Can I go up? And I said, sure. And you went up and then Seinfeld came out. The entire
What are you doing?
No, not just Jerry. The whole show came out.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it was before I got in a little trouble, if you know what I'm saying, huh? Be careful with your word choice. That's all I'm saying. Yeah,
I feel like I met you before I started doing comedy. Mm-hmm. You were at Stooges Comedy Club.
Milwaukee.
Yeah, and you were just—I was just hanging out in the back, and I said, "Hey, I'm looking to do some comedy. I want to start doing some comedy." And hey, I don't know. That might maybe I met you after I did that guest set. I'm not sure because you were my brother Terry used to have all the comic. What were they called on Fox? Comics Sunday or Sunday?
Oh,
Comics.
Sunday Comics. Yeah,
and there were other names for it too. But it was on Fox. It was on Sunday nights. And he ranked all the comedians and he would give them 1 through 5 stars in a little notebook. And you were a 5-star comedian.
I love your brother.
Yeah.
That's great.
I don't want to tell you who some of the other 5-star people were. but you were definitely a 5-star.
Thanks. Stooges was across from, if you remember Stooges, it was across from the candy place where Dahmer worked.
Pretty much. Yeah. It was some friends ran it. It was really, you know, they tried their hardest, but it was in a tough spot to sell tickets.
Yeah, but they were great people. They came to see me
really
at the Potawatomi, that casino when I played the casino. The lady, I forgot her name. She's very sweet.
Yeah, and I would have had the name until you just ruined it for me. And
I just fucked
it up. Threw me off at Potawatomi. It's Potawatomi because I was part of the Potawatomi Area Council and Cub Scouts.
You, Frank?
Well, you actually wrote my bio on my website, the original bio on my website. My brother had you write the rest of the bio and it included something about a paramecium and we didn't have an ending for it. And, you ended up writing the end of the bio that I used for years and years and years. So,
wow.
Yeah. You probably didn't even know about that. Cause my brother was just trying to get free work out of you. So,
well, I'm happy to help.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. No, I remember when I recall meeting you at that, the old,
Joey, her name was Joey.
Joey. That's right.
Joey from Stooges.
You're right. Joey from Stooges. I did a bit where
Kulikowski, Joey Kulikowski.
Kulikowski from Milwaukee. What are the odds?
Yeah, 100%.
Well, you were born in Chicago, raised in Milwaukee,
So my dad worked for he sold caloric ranges, so that became a manna later. But it was like ranges, like stovetops and microwaves and stuff like that to all the local businesses. And then when the big box stores, the Best Buys and stuff like that came in. that stuff didn't exist anymore. So he was like a regional manager selling, you know, 10 stoves to a, you know, to a small retail outlet, and that stuff all went away. So he was in Chicago. He did that and then moved to us to Waukesha right outside of Milwaukee. And that's why we moved there, because he became the district manager. Little did I know, it probably meant nothing, but it sounded pretty cool when we were putting together, collating binders for him.
So. Now, was there funny in the house? Was dad funny? Mom funny?
My dad is one of those guys that's, you know, when Dennis Miller described Jerry Lewis, like, mm-hmm. like, he's funny. Why am I laughing so much when he's not trying? Yeah. And when he's trying, I got tears coming down for the wrong reason. Chachi. Yeah. You know, so my dad was like that. We would go to, Chuck E. Cheese's, and mm-hmm. he would talk like Donald Duck to Chuck E. Cheese. He got the rats mixed up, you know, right. And he was kind of doing it on purpose, so that stuff didn't make us laugh, but right. he would do other things right. that you'd be like, oh, he's kind of Terry Bradshaw funny, you know, like, right. oh, I didn't know that happened. I didn't know that Advil was going to be dropped on me by that coyote. I should have stood on that egg. You know, that kind of thing. So, but it, I mean, we were, my dad also didn't care. I look back and go, geez, I'm so much like him in many ways uh-huh. that he's like, because I didn't care about school. I got a son and a daughter mm-hmm. in high school right now. And it's about get some good grades. Just get some good grades so you can decide what to do with your future. Make your own decisions. You know, you have more opportunities if you get decent grades. My dad was always like, hey, C's average. Go for it. That's fine. Yeah. So, you know, I thought I got better grades than I did. I look back and I got probably about a 3.2 in high school. But I should have had probably a 3.5 or 3.6. I just didn't care.
Yeah.
I meet people every day, or before COVID, I'd meet people every day and I go, my God, you're highly intelligent. I'm a little above average with intelligence. So I'm just like, okay, I'm good enough to get by and not be one of the stupid people. But then I look at how intelligent, I was just listening to Elon Musk on Rogan, you know, and I'm going, okay, I know nothing.
Look at that. I mean, first of all, you can't look at that. I will tell you, I had the same thing because I didn't apply myself because I wasn't interested in it. But one thing I did notice about you, the focus on your work, you took the stand-up very seriously. Even when you did that guest spot, you were in pregame, you were focused, and there wasn't a wasted word up there.
Yeah, I went in and got going. I don't know if you remember this. And I know you want to. I can tell where you're going with this about how. And I am more of a grinder. I was very much a grinder and hardworking type of guy. I've gotten way over doing that. I'm past that. Like 5 or 6 stages. I'm trying to get myself back into it. I used to work so hard, but then when you have kids, it all changes and priorities change. And so, but if you remember, you probably don't remember. I watched you, and I go, after watching your set and just watching some of the things you did and how you bounced from thing to thing, I go, how much were you influenced by Robin Williams? And you went, oh, I loved him.
Yeah.
You know, you were like that. I was like, well, I could tell because you don't do the same stuff, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I go, I just watched and I went from you bounce and a few of the voices and the way you took an object and gave it a voice and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, this is highly, you know, oh my God, it's not that, you know, but it's between there, Jonathan Winters, you know, if you go old school. And that's how I look at people. When I watch people, I go, okay, I can see the influence. The first time I watched Dane Cook, I go, well, there's a lot of Brian Regan. He's not doing Brian Regan,
right.
But you can repeat it a couple times.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just and edge it up. And then you can find where people, when we're younger, you know, when you get older, if you start comedy and you're influenced by somebody, you're hacking them, right? You're taking what they're doing. But there's no way to not be influenced by somebody when you're watching them as a kid.
Yeah, that's how you find your voice. Well, Robin found it through Jonathan.
Right, absolutely.
You know,
I remember that well. Then he put me on the show. Now is that, oh, Daddy, what's that going to do? Come on, this is bringing back so many memories. What are we doing here, Adam? What's the wrong kind of Adam? We're splitting it. Come on, make it. What are we doing? Nuclear fusion. Who knew? Mr. Fusion, come on. Look at me. And then Doc Brown.
You mean to tell me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Doc, this is heavy. No, this sucker's electrical, you know? So, So I worked really hard when I first started because I got in the college circuit and I was doing nobody else was doing. Nobody was doing impressions. Remember, the internet wasn't around. Nobody, people had some email. I mean, I got email when I was a freshman in high school or college. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
English. It wasn't English 101. It was like English 111. It was some special class at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, but I didn't know. Well, listen, I jumped like four different things in my head, but I didn't know what
I Robin Williams. You can't focus on anything now.
Yeah. I'm even worse. I don't know. In the last 5 years, everything's just going, everything's going. I went to school, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I was going to be a broadcast journalism major. Uh-huh. That's what I went for. But I didn't ever want to be the interviewer. I found that I had trouble sticking a microphone in somebody's face.
Yeah.
I wasn't really interested in that guy because I couldn't start the conversation. If you started the conversation and let me go, what I really wanted to be was a talk show guest.
Yeah.
That's all. That was my goal in life. I mean, is that you too?
That's me. I wanted to be the guy on the show. Give me the pieces to make something out of it. And that's one of the things I looked at when I watched you work. I went, you're doing impressions, but that's just the launching off point because you riff in an impression. I mean, you do.
Yeah.
You're riffing you're improvising as that person with your personality in it.
Yeah, with my personality in it is the key. There's a key to what you just said that most people don't do when they do impressions. That's what gave impressions such a bad knock. You know, people would just do lines from movies or characters from movies. But, you know, I can do a lot of other voice, and there are people that are better at dead on impressions than me. I think there's plenty of people that are really great at dead on voices, but they don't add that part of them to it, which is the acting in, right? Like when you act, you've done what, 30,000 pilots?
yes.
You know that when you act, even if you're not yourself, there's a piece of you in there. A lot of people do the impression, they're just, you know, let's take an easy one that everybody does or has done. And you're like a Robert De Niro. Everybody's just going, are you talking to me? Are you? No, nobody's talking to you. Make something up. Yes. Create something with it. Like with De Niro, I look at him and go, he's, you know, he's kind of a tough guy, this type of thing. And then, well, the old bit that I used to do is he was in Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. He played the Frankenstein monster. And the first time I watch it, I'm like laughing because like, look at me. Huh? Do you see me? I am the Frankenstein monster. You know, to me, it was funny of who he was and like he was fish out of water casting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny to take the actual actor and then what do you do with him? People are always like, do you do Heath Ledger's Joker? I go, well, not really. I never even worked on it because he already created the character of the Joker. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. To me, it would be more interesting to find a Heath Ledger impression at the time. Now would be, you know, when people passed away, even the Robin thing to me is like, you know, a little bit weird, but we're talking about it, so it made sense. Okay, let's take a current person. Let's go Robert Downey Jr. Okay, so here's the deal. Do me a favor. Just enjoy me. If you notice, he's also just, this is the bit, the way my mind works. So he played Iron Man, but he's played him so much that he's become Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to Robert Downey Jr. talk now, he'll be like, okay, so we're planning on going to Mars in what, the next 3 weeks? We don't have that technology. Oh, we got it in Iron Man 2. I don't know where you've been. You know, so you're like, like, no, you're not Tony Stark. You're Robert Downey Jr. But you can take him and do some things with him. If you were to take like a movie character, that's already, you can do impressions with that, but they're more like asides. They're almost like, you know, you throw out a Forrest Gump and, you know, you do something like that. Or, you know, Thor, I always do this with Tom Hiddleston. I am Loki of Asgard and I'm burdened with glorious purpose. But if you listen to Tom Hiddleston talk, he's just like, when we were working on this, it was very wonderful. And he does great impressions too. And then, you know, even throw in, Chris Hemsworth, who was one of the greatest times I ever had was I would go to these Ace Comic Cons and take my daughter because she's a huge Marvel Cinematic Universe fan.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to hang out with Chris Hemsworth for a little bit. And he was taking pictures with people and stuff like that. And we walked over to take a picture. I took a picture with him. And then he thought it was coming to take another picture. He's like, oh okay. Well, how about this right here? And he grabs his phone. He takes his picture of me and him and a friend of mine, who is the security guard.
Uh-huh.
And he takes a picture. And my daughter's like, oh, my God, you're in Chris Hemsworth's camera roll. I'm like, I didn't even know that was a thing. But, you know, you can just find by meeting Chris Hemsworth, it's so funny when you meet the person, you see he doesn't walk. He kind of glides. You ever see one of those people? They walk with bent legs.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys. He's probably about 6'4", but he walks at about 6'2". You know, so So, but he's kind of gliding. He's like, you can just hear the sounds. That's what it is. So it's just, it's so funny to just watch him because he is that Thor character. Yeah. He's that guy. So you see what he is, then you can put him into other things. It helps me. It's the same thing with cartoon characters. To me, people say a cartoon character impression. I'm like, well, an impression of a cartoon character is really a voice.
Yeah.
It's not really an impression. The impression is finding the what it is about the person's face and stuff like that. How do you create the whole thing? That's an impression to me. Mm-hmm. And it's who are they as a regular person? Like, I'm just trying to think of some people I've done impressions with, like, you know, Leno would do, you know, he'd do this thing and he was, you know, when he's just talking to you.
Yeah, but you just went into Jay right there and you just took his mouth just showed up.
Right. Yeah, just it's all there. And that's why I call it the pizza slice. It's a line across the eyes, mm-hmm. a dot down there, and it's a triangle going downward. It doesn't matter how fat my cheeks are, that you can look across there and you can see the person. You can George W. Bush, Donald Trump, Barack Obama. You can do, and you can get a lot of different people by just how do they stand, what's there. But I see the person in front of me. So I'm disappointed when I see myself on television or something, because mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I still look like me kind of doing it. As opposed to in my head, I see the person.
Yeah, but you see you. I see, like, you just did Leno, and I went, the whole bottom half of your face just changed for me.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm an outside observer.
That's the point. Yeah, that's what you look for. And you find that little thing, and you find how does the mouth form, and you go from there. Because if you find out how the mouth form, you can start to figure out what their cadence is, mm-hmm. and you don't even have to have the pitch right. I'm trying to think of some that are really good with that. Trump is very, very simple. It's a lot of people. And that, quite frankly, see this movement. You pull back the corners of your mouth. Mm-hmm. And it's very good. A lot of people are dragging. And listen, the results of this podcast are probably going to be disputed. There's a lot of people talking. Adam, there's a lot of people talking about it. You ever see Trump would do this too? He'd frame himself. Look, you see this? I'm framing myself, just like I'm getting framed by the left, which is one of these hands, left and right. Neither of them like me, and I'm framed by the left and right. Take a look in here. Do you see that? Look at that. Now I'm jazz hands. Oh, that's me coming through. Okay. So,
what was the door that got you into Madden?
Oh well, listen, the whole sports impression thing, mm-hmm. nobody was really doing. The people were doing them on the radio, sports impressions, but nobody was doing them on TV. Mm-hmm. And sports in general, they stay away from it in mainstream television because it excludes almost half of the audience. And it's not necessarily male, female, but a lot of people, as soon as they, you never see a big sports sitcom, even Everybody Loves Raymond, basically wrote out the fact that he was a sports writer. You didn't even hear about it anymore.
It's like the kids. They never addressed the kids either.
We got rid of them. You know, they were playing baseball. So the Madden thing came from, I went to school for broadcast journalism. So I'm just messing around. And I thought I wanted to be a sports center anchor or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's where I thought I was going to go. And, you know, Summerall actually came first, you know, the Pat Summerall who just do the phrases that to the 20, to the 25.
Yeah.
And then Madden would just explain the obvious. I would just say the things that didn't need to be said, but you say it. And it's funny to go back and even listen to that. I hear, I hear my old Madden versions. I'm like, hey, folks, John Madden here. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, my God, people thought that was good. But I think because the video game was out and, you know, that was during high school for me. So the video game was out. Madden was huge in terms of being an announcer. And there's nothing easier than taking an analyst from sports television and having them diagram everyday life. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's why sports people are so simple to me. People be like, people say like, do play-by-play of this as Madden. I go, wait. John Madden isn't a play-by-play guy.
He was a color guy.
John Madden, a color analyst. So he would say things, what's going on. So it would never work when people are like, hey, do play-by-play this. I'm like, no, you just talk about the things that are going on and you spend a lot of time on that. Same thing became for John Gruden, man. I would just talk about whatever was happening. I don't care. Mike Tirico trying to bring things up. I don't get where he's coming from with some of this stuff. So I went from pigeonholing myself from a broadcaster named John to pigeonholing myself to a broadcaster named John, an impression of that. So, but yeah, even Barkley. So that guy, I did this thing this last year where I did voiceover of nuns playing basketball. I think it was in France or something right. like that. And Barkley's complaining, well, you really can't expect a lot from a nun. You know, what do you think, Shaq? I think that's pretty good right there. You know, so... And Shaq saw it. He just started cracking up. He's like, "You got this. That's really So,
well, you know what you did for Gruden? You made Gruden likable.
I think I helped with that. Yeah,
you made him accessible and likable.
He was Chucky, and that's why I think he likes me so much, because I think he gets that. He's such a huge personality. Listen, one of the greatest lines ever said to me was at the Comedy and Magic Club. You know it well, right?
Yes, I do.
Mike Lacy, the owner, I do an incredible job, doing very, very nice. Richard, I have him up on the, I have Richard up on the roof, and Richard is cleaning the roof with a toothbrush, and he's a terrible person. I don't like him at all. He's kind of got Jay Leno's chin. He pretends to be very, very nice. People don't even stutter on an R in the middle of it. Really. But I used to do evil Mike Lacy for people. I'm not going to get you. Listen, I know I said I was going to give you all this free steak, but it's $45 and I'm just going to take it out of your future pay. And you know what? I had Richard go into your bank account and he took out $250 because I know you're going to be back tomorrow. And then, but Henry Cho.
Oh yeah.
Henry Cho said the smartest, most brilliant thing in the world to me that got me think, that made me go, okay, Henry Cho's brilliant. I did a thing on Mad TV where it was John Madden in the middle of the commercial. I'm just writing Ace Hardware across a play, right? Mm-hmm. And I go, and I said in that green room to Henry Cho and whoever else was there, I said, man, it's so crazy. Madden is now doing what I've done. He's taking what I've done on sketch TV and putting in a commercial and making a ton of money off it. And Henry Cho went, yeah, you know what? But don't you think John May had saying the same thing about you right now? I was like, oh, you know what? Touche, man. You're
fair enough.
Exactly right. I just took John Madden's voice and basically made a bunch of money with it. All right, you were right. Okay. Yeah. I guess it all just goes back and forth.
I remember reading that Madden didn't like it at first and liked it when his grandkids started laughing at it.
Yeah, because I met him at the Super Bowl in Dallas, and I made his grandkids laugh. He saw me, and it was I do this bit in my act, like it was when Shaggy and Scooby mm-hmm. see the bad guy pop out of the barrel.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He saw me, he's like, Zoinks, like, hey Scooby, like, let's get out of here. Ruh-roh, Richie's gonna be bad. But I made his grandkids laugh, and it was like, I get it now. You know all the things I've heard. And I had my family take my father-in-law took a picture with him, and then Madden kind of got it, because when a person meets you, uh-huh. they see what you're trying to do with it. You know, I never took the things that I disliked about people and made impressions out of them. Uh-huh. I learned this. I took a couple of improv classes before I got into stand-up, and they were like, "You should try stand-up." I'm like, "Does that mean I'm bad at improv?" They're like, "Kind of." But maybe you're just really good with the voices. We don't use much of that here. But they said there's two ways to make a character. Mm-hmm. And one is to find something you really hate about the person. Whatever it is, it's an emotion. Attach an emotion. I try and find the silly, and I make it so I can kind of like that. That's what I did with Madden. I found it. You know, you just create these sounds and phrases. That's the thing that came from Alex Borstein and Will Sasso talking. And I don't know if it was, I probably recognize this before and around it, but it was Alex Borstein and Will Sasso just talking. Like, it's the sounds in between mm-hmm. the words that can make a character so great. And I was doing this naturally, but it was the first time I think I'd ever heard it. Maybe I'm not sure, but it's in my mind as remembering them talking about it, and especially Alex. But you know, that can take an impression. And that's mm-hmm. part of what going back, that takes the impression and puts the little part of you in there, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what makes it fun. The Madden did a little bit, you know, but I turned it into,
yeah,
turned him into like,
but you also landed when you brought it down to land to make a pivot, you always brought it back to something he always said. I remember you
doing the big emotion, and then it always land on Brett Favre. It always went back to Brett Favre.
Yeah. And you bring it down and you think about some of the things. I mean, one of the things I like to think about is that, you know, you ever play Super Mario Brothers? I mean, that's a great story. I mean, when you look at it, Mario came to this country from Japan, and he was just a little Italian plumber, and you saw what he did, and he made something of himself. And but then tragedy struck, and then a gorilla stole his girlfriend. And when a gorilla steals your girlfriend and climbs to the top of an unfinished building and starts throwing barrels, what are you going to do? Yeah. You know who could do that? Brett Favre.
Is it easier for you? Because you...
I don't even do a lot of math. It's, here's funny. I know you said, hold that thought. I almost went Norm MacDonald. Hey, hold that thought. Hold it. Ferreira. Hey, ever, you know, Caliendo doesn't usually do the John Madden, but he's doing a lot today. You ever reminisce about something you've never done? You ever do that? Okay, so what are you going to say? I was going to say,
because you put yourself in there and you improv it, and there's spikes of energy that happen to us as comics, you know, through our day and stuff. Yeah. And just me as a person, too, the energy is always here, especially the performance energy. My question is this. Is it easier, or do you have a bigger window to improv when you're doing somebody like Morgan Freeman, who's a little slower paced than it is to improv at a level where you're doing Madden at his height?
Well, I can see you leading me right into this, funny. Truth of the matter is, there are quite a few catchphrases you can just go into. Sometimes a man, like not just sometimes.
Yeah, I could improv because, again, Morgan Freeman's, the reason I even started doing Morgan Freeman was because John Madden had retired.
Right.
And I was like, okay, now I need a way to explain the jokes that I don't really want anybody to get anyway. I always like that. John Campanaro was the one who said that. He said, you're not doing enough Madden. Why do it? You got to do Madden the whole show. If I had a Madden, I'd do it the entire time. Explain the jokes. That's my opener.
Harry Carey's gone. I'm still doing them.
I just am here.
Yeah, so, Morgan Freeman, I guess I could. You just explain what's going on and say, fact of the matter is, a lot. You know, I take them and I become something else with them most of the time.
Yeah.
Especially when they're a lot of fun. You know, when you've mastered them, and at the beginning, they're just voices, right? But then to create the character behind them, it can take more time. Mm-hmm. And then to say anything you want. There's a lot of impressions I can just do a few words of. Mm-hmm. And people are like, well, do 20 minutes of that. I'm like, I can't. You know, like if I want to do a Rogan, I just go, I don't know, what the fuck, man? I mean, it's fucking nuts. It's fucking crazy. I mean, but I have to say fuck in it. I can't not. I don't know. It's something that triggers in my throat because he's got that. I did a thing. It was a, you know, social media thing. And it all starts with Kermit the Frog. Okay. So hi ho, Kermit the Frog. Uh-huh. And if you change it a little bit, you can bring it back your throat and it becomes John C. Reilly. Okay. So that sounds pretty good. And then you take a little air out of it and it becomes Mark Ruffalo. Geez, I see this as an absolute win. I didn't even know I could do this. How do you come up with something like that? And then you put it back here and it's just, what the fuck, man? It's Rogan. So, but there's lots of voices like that, that you just change a little bit of the, you change a little bit in your throat and create, you know, how they talk with it, but it's being able to manipulate all this. But those are a lot of that I don't put a ton of me in because they're newer and they're really more voices with just like some lines thrown at it. Right. When I used to do it, when I started out and I just wanted to be Al Pacino, I would walk around and I would just try to become him. I don't know where you are. Have you watched The Hunters at all? He's got the Jewish accent. It's very, it's just, it's so much. You guys.
Yeah, it's big. It's like he's hunting Nazis across the street. There they are.
Yeah. You say they're right over here. Yeah. Every time I'm out, they pull me back in. That's
okay. When you inhabit a character and you do it so well, others look to you for guidance. James Brolin used your
Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin. I'm sorry.
I had this interview, and I actually met him at a Comic-Con too. That's one of my favorite stories because it made my daughter think I was the coolest guy in the world. So Josh Brolin, I had this interview, and it was actually a guy I know doing the interview, Gino Salamone from Milwaukee. And he's like, talks about me, and Josh Brolin's like, yeah, Frank Caliendo. He's like, Oliver and I, Oliver Stone, watched me doing George W. Bush to get the Bush impression part and the comedic part for the movie W. So, and I actually have Oliver Stone talking a little bit about it. He didn't acknowledge as much as Josh Brolin did. But so we went to this Comic-Con, we meet him, and we're all set up to meet him. An agent set it up and all that kind of stuff. But Chris Evans was there too. And they're like, well, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to see Chris Evans too. He can't do it by himself. I was like, no problem. Yeah. I'll make it work. So,
I'm really Red Skull. I'm ducking him.
Yeah. Right. I could do this all day. So they're in there. We come in to talk to him for just a second because I just want to talk to Brolin. I'm like, I'd actually gone through the picture line with my daughter, and Josh Brolin gave me this look like, I know you.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say anything. So I was like, he kind of figured out who I was. My daughter's Juliet. And I like, but I don't think he really recognized me or something like that or whatever. I was just playing it down.
Mm-hmm.
So then we finally get to meet. He goes, oh, I knew it was you. He's like, I just didn't know why you were here. It's like, why are you here in Seattle at a Comic-Con? And he's talking about, you know, we're just talking for a couple of seconds. Evans goes, wait, what are you guys talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And Brolin's like, oh, I use this guy's, you know, as a inspiration for a role. And Evans like, what role? And I was like, Thanos. Mm-hmm. And he's like, wait, who are you? And I'm like, Frank Caliendo. He's like, oh my God. He starts going, when you did Madden. And Belichick, because he's a huge Patriots fan. He's talking about all this stuff. He's going, oh my God, it was unreal. And you're doing this and this. And he's hitting me. I'm like, relax. You got the super soldiers here. You're just smashing them. And Juliet's like, oh my God, my dad knows Captain America. Like, and Captain America knows him. And she's old enough to know that it's, you know, Chris Evans, but she's a movie savant. She's a Marvel savant.
Mm-hmm.
So we're making the whole thing go late. Everything's behind now because Evans doesn't want us to leave because we're just, you know, I'm basically entertaining him and and Juliet's telling Thanos about her broken elbow that isn't healing properly and all kinds of stuff. And it was just the greatest time. And they don't really want us to leave, but we have to. And then we're about to leave. And Evans like, you got to take a picture with us. Got to take a picture. So he has us take a picture. He's like, you got to remember this. So we go out and my daughter's like on cloud nine and I'm like the coolest dad in the world. And then Chris Evans comes out. He takes a little break and he goes up to text. He looks up and sees me. He's like, hey, Frank. And he comes over and we're talking for a little bit more. And my daughter goes, this is unbelievable. After this is over, she goes, unbelievable. I go, why? She goes, he didn't have to talk to you this time. He wanted to talk to you. I'm like, hey, get ready. Hey, at 13 years old, guess what? Your life has peaked. And it's all downhill from here because I don't know. I don't know if anybody, you know, Tom Holland is from England. I don't think Captain Marvel. I don't know how much Brie Larson knows sports. So we got the sports guys today. That's who's going to know me the most. But that was, you know, those were incredible moments. But yeah, so they go back for me name dropping. Josh Brolin used that, you know, that was great because that was one of my ins for doing that. I'm like, if you won any awards, feel free to, you know, I wish I would have known you had then. I would have asked you to mention my name in any speeches.
That's great, man. You're doing great. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today, my friend. The Caliendo cast, you can get wherever you get your podcast. It's a lot of fun. Follow Frank on social media. I love when you did the Hail Murray. You did Jim Nance and Tony Romo calling the Hail Murray pass.
Oh, Jim, this is incredible and amazing. It's really, really great. By the way, people say, and all I can really say is Jim Nance is Tony. Because I just say that for everything because I noticed when Nance gets excited, like a guy be running, he'll just accentuate a line like somebody's playing with the volume dial. You know, Tony, he's like to the sideline. So I just turned it into the same word all the time. Like, here we go, Jim. Tony. So they've even done that in a couple of games. They've been in the middle of the game. And John Holmberg, who I do podcasts with, he's actually the one who first spotted, here we go, Jim. Uh-huh. And we go, here we go, Jim. And Tony. And now it's kind of like this thing that they even will do on broadcast sometimes. But yeah, Tony Romo, if you bring him down a little bit, uh-huh. and I didn't know this, somebody, people out there, is if you talk like this a little bit, oh, Jim, it's amazing and wonderful. You bring it down, it becomes Artie Lang. I didn't even know.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, now yeah it's kind of weird.
Wow. I can't thank you enough, my friend. The podcast is called The Caliendo Cast. You can get it wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for taking the time, pal. Best to you and the family.
Yeah, great to talk to you, Adam. Next time we'll find out a little something about you because I don't. I just talked the whole time.
That's all right. Be well, pal.
You too.
The ADD interview was brought to you by CruiseIntoWellness.com. CruiseIntoWellness.com for all your CBD needs. Now, let's say you're playing basketball with Charles Barkley and Sister Mary Rebound, but she keeps getting boxed out in the paint.
Well, you really can't expect a lot from a nun.
This could cause you a little anxiety. So why don't you do what I do? Take one of the gummies they have at CruiseIntoWellness.com.
What else do they have, Adam?
They have edibles, tinctures, pain creams, bath products, pet products, and tell you what, 20% off with the coupon code Adam. Yes, 20% off anything they have at CruiseIntoWellness.com. Would you please go and feel better?
Hi, this is Frank Caliendo, and that was 30 minutes I'll never get back.
I had a lot of fun catching up with my friend. What was it like interviewing 20 people at the same time, Adam?
And he does them all great, doesn't he?
Yeah, I love Gruden's the best. I mean, I love Madden, but Gruden is the absolute best. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I couldn't stop laughing at the Barkley.
Just I'm laughing thinking about it. It was just perfect.
What do you expect from a nun?
Yeah.
You know who we did spot on?
Who?
You.
Me? When the hell did he do me?
Oh, yeah. Mark, could you please go back to where Adam and he were talking about Robin Williams?
After watching your set and just watching some of the things you did and how you bounced from thing to thing, I go, how much were you influenced by Robin Williams? And you went, oh, I loved him.
When he said that, I'm like, that's Adam.
Wait a minute. That's my impression?
Oh.
Yes.
That's it. Everyone else, he can improv as somebody else. But when Frank does me, this is what he can do.
Oh.
That's it.
It's spot on.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I've never made that noise in my life.
Oh, shut up. That's a sound you make when either you're excited or you can't find something.
Get out of here.
Yeah, like, okay. What sound did you make when I gave you Evel Knievel?
Thanks, Stern.
Oh, what sound did you make?
That's got to be my ringtone.
I have another. What sound did you make when you forgot the lemons last night?
Oh,
I'm going to smack you in the head, Stern.
I did. Just doing my job, sir.
I did.
She sent me out. She goes, you have to start. Could you bring home some lemons? And I forgot the lemons.
Oh.
Knock it off.
You know, on Top Gear, Adam is famous for saying this one phrase and people imitate him all the time. And it's great.
Yeah. Whenever I would show the guys the car, I'd go, huh?
People actually ask him to say that.
Oh,
no.
You know, like, just keep your finger on the button, Stern. Anytime there's a low.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Thank you, Mark.
Pleasure to serve, ma'am. Pleasure to serve.
Frank always used to do an impression of me, too. He would just say three words. I'm getting annoyed. That was the impression. And I named my first CD, I'm Getting Annoyed, in honor of that.
There you go. Yeah. And he was accurate.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. I like the story in the green room with Henry Cho.
Frank's
all upset. He goes, Madden's making a fortune on something I did. And he's like, aren't you kind of doing the same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now that you think you say so.
Yeah, kind of straightened him out, mm-hmm. you know? But he's so good at it, you know? He's just so good at it. I saw him when he did a spot at the Funny Bone in Columbus. And I was just like, man, it was a friggin' whirlwind. It just he laid waste to everybody.
Now, Adam, that club that you were just referencing a second ago,
mm-hmm.
were there any serial killer landmarks that you needed to point out around
at
that?
At the Columbus Funny Bone? No. But Stooges in Milwaukee was across from the candy factory where Dama worked. I'm not kidding.
Look how excited you are.
It was because it was amazing to me. And I actually brought it up on stage and they were like, oh, I'm like, what? You didn't know? You knew. I found out from you guys.
What were you hoping to go back in time and solve the murder?
No, it's nothing to solve. I'm pretty sure he did it.
Yeah, he did it. I loved it when he got recognized in front of his daughter by Captain America.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, oh, you're scoring points. He became the cool dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you see somebody every day, you have there's a familiarity to it, and you forget. It's like Phil. I became the cool friend for Phil when I introduced him to Carl Weathers.
Really? You were pretty cool.
That is
you were
pretty
cool way before then.
Yeah, in that moment I was cool. Before then, Phil was just, he was just yelling.
I still don't know what he's saying there.
No, he just yelled.
Well, I just think, think of the perspective of the kid, right? His daughter. Because her whole view is just, oh, he's my dad. So he's kind of dorky because he's my dad. And to go out and to just all of a sudden be like, wait a minute. Captain America likes this dude and Thor likes this dude.
Yeah.
And it just, I would love to see the look in the kid's eyes and be like, oh my God, my dad's actually kind of a badass. You know, just a cool moment.
Captain America came back twice and took a picture.
I know. Yeah. I know. And by the way, and that was just a one sentence impersonation of him. I could do this all day. Mm. And of course, Caliendo nails it. And you could tell, by the way, Chris Evans, who's like a superstar. Mm. He was like a little kid in a toy shop, was like, oh, my God, it's Frank Caliendo. I love this guy.
Yeah.
Like that sort of mutual admiration stuff always, always just tickles my heart.
See that, Mark, that can happen to you. You know what you should do? You should start doing John Madden.
Listen,
you know what?
Phil.
This worked the last time you told that guy.
Yes,
I'm doing it.
Here you go.
Brett Favre. Yeah.
And John Madden's perspective changed when his grandkids saw how much that they liked Frank's impression.
Yeah, because I'm sure Madden was like, who's this freak? This sort of like coattailing off of my, I'm a football guy and this guy's, Shecky Green, what's he doing with my voice? Mm. And then he sees how much his grandkids like flip out over it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I get it now. This is actually a cool thing, you know? So that was a cool moment.
Mm-hmm.
That was that one little, see, it was that one little change when he made his grandkids smile. Right. Then John Madden went, well, I get it now. I gotta thank him and Brett Favre. See, I love that now that John Madden can enjoy it. I don't have grandkids, so just pisses me off. I want to thank Frank Caliendo for being my guest. His podcast is the Caliendo Cast. He's a great follow on all his social medias. And honey, if they want to get a hold of us, where do they go?
TheAdamFerrara@gmail.com.
The show's growing and it's all because of you. Thank you so much. Tell somebody you like about the show. And if you don't like the show, tell somebody you hate. Good way to piss them off. If you can leave us a review, it helps us with our friend,
Mr. Algorithm.
And always remember, life is hard. Take it easy on yourself. Pod has ended. Go in peace.
You're eating sauerkraut now. You're regular.
Yeah. All right. Tell you that. The wife is giving me raw sauerkraut because it's the probiotics.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I'm so glad I don't have a digestive system.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.